atmosphere has a fairly fixed percentage of oxygen. Was it about 19.5%, give or take? But that oxygen is so important for life, and yet we breathe in and out all the time, and chances are we rarely think about it. How about the ability to walk? When's the last time you thought, man, I'm glad I get to walk. I'm glad I'm a bipedal creature. Chances are we don't think about it, or maybe we don't appreciate it too much until we can't walk, right? We have a broken leg, or in some cases perhaps some people go through life as paraplegic, so they don't have control over the lower half of their body at all. And so where am I going with this? When's the last time you really thanked God for the Sabbath day? And I think in the Church of God we do that quite often, right? The sun goes down on Friday evening and it's a big sigh of relief, right? It's like, huh, glad the Sabbath is here. But there's also a tendency, if we're not careful, unless we're vigilant in our Sabbath observance, to, as we do with other common things, like the sun or breathing in oxygen, every time our lungs draw in air from what's around us, or whether it's walking, just simple everyday things, the Sabbath comes every 7 days, and if we're not vigilant, sometimes there can be a tendency to take the Sabbath for granted. Now, if we've been in the church for any length of time, we're familiar with the concept of keeping Sabbath, right? We don't work during that 24-hour period of time from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday evening. We assemble as a congregation, as we're doing here today. And as a result of not going about our regular day-to-day lives, we tend to have more free time because we're not working in that way. But again, do we or can we take the Sabbath for granted? Now, my purpose today is twofold. To, number one, show from the Scriptures why we are to keep the Sabbath holy. And then, number two, to demonstrate how these instructions facilitate us being able to call the Sabbath a delight. Now, this is going to be a review for everybody in this room, I believe. I'm not going to be covering any new material that you and I are not familiar with. But if you're like me, we have to continually fight against this proclivity of the familiar becoming mundane. Right? The Sabbath comes every 7 days. It's routine. And if we're not careful, we can fall into a routine when it comes to how we observe the Sabbath. And we don't want the familiar to become the mundane, which can then lead to complacency. God does not want us to have a complacent attitude when it comes to the Sabbath. And so this sermon will be a review. And the title I've given for this sermon is Principles of Sabbath Observance. Principles of Sabbath Observance. Now, before we get into our specific points, let's just step back and look at a few basic scriptures about the Sabbath command. And by the way, I appreciate Mr. Keller's song selection today, singing Keep the Sabbath Holy right prior to this sermon. So very good timing, very, very much inspired, Mr. Keller, so thank you for that. The Sabbath command, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. We can, in fact, trace the Sabbath command back to creation in Genesis chapter 2. That explicit link is made in the first of two recordings of the Sabbath command. First one, of course, found in Exodus chapter 20. The second found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But Exodus 20, and we'll review that here in a little bit as well, Exodus 20 pulls the principle from the seventh day of the creation week. So in Genesis chapter 2, we'll just read the few verses here. Beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. You recall that every day of creation, God said, it is good. But then at the pinnacle of creation, when he created mankind, creating them male and female in his own image, he said, behold, it is very good, because he knew that his work was complete. And then it says, it was very good, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So, few things to bring out or to call your attention to here. First of all, is a common, I guess you could say, argument against the Sabbath is that, well, people will say, well, the Sabbath command itself is not mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. And that is true. There is no command per se, you shall keep the Sabbath day holy, in this creation section of Scripture here found in Genesis chapters 1 through 4. That is true. But the fact that Exodus chapter 20 refers back to the creation week as its example for then why God's people should rest on the Sabbath day is a very powerful argument for why the Sabbath does, in fact, trace its beginning back to this creation week. Secondly, if we look at the word to rest, in verse 2, it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. The Hebrew word for rested is sabbat, which is a derivative of the Hebrew word for Shabbat, which we recognize as Sabbathing. And in fact, to Sabbath means to rest. That's its meaning in the original Hebrew language. For example, the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew English Lexicon says this about the word Sabbat or rest, found here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. It says, Sabbat means to, quote, observe the Sabbath, to formally rest, that is, to do the religious practice of ceasing from all activity on the work of the seventh day of the week as prescribed by God as an extension of ceasing from an activity or state. And other derivations or other related meanings to that word Sabbat is to stop, to cease, to be still, to be quiet, to have an ending of activity. So you get the point. To Sabbath means to rest. And so when God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it, because he rested, he Sabbathed from his work which he had done and made. Hence the direct link to the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath day. Now, one other scripture, which we've already referred to, Exodus chapter 20. This is the first of two you'll recognize as where you find the Ten Commandments. And part of why I chose to review the Sabbath command today is because we're reviewing in our doctrines class God's law and sin. So Exodus chapter 20, it says in verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Very, very similar language you'll notice to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. God finished his work, therefore he Sabbathed, he rested. Same thing here. Seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates, Essentially, and we won't spend a whole lot of time on this concept, but essentially everything that is under your direct control, i.e. in your household, is to cease from work, to cease from their regular labors and enjoy a rest, a Sabbath rest. Verse 11, and here's the tie back to Genesis. For in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. And we know hallowed means to set apart, to consecrate for a special purpose. So the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Let's just break that down a little bit more. So bear with me here. To remember the Sabbath day. What does that mean, to remember? Does that mean about Friday afternoon at sunset? Oh, yeah. I think it's the Sabbath day again. Let me check my calendar. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Today's the Sabbath day. No, it's more than that, isn't it? To remember in the Hebrew, the root word to remember means to make mention of, to name, to profess, to observe. The Good News Translation says to observe the Sabbath day. Other examples of its uses, if you recall, after the flood, Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives and all the animals are on the ark, and the floodwaters cover the entirety of the livable surface of the earth. They're just floating along there. And Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 says this. It says, and God remembered Noah. So does that mean God just says, oh yeah, I did save some people. Silly me. They're on that boat out there floating in the middle. I completely forgot all about it, but there they are. Whew, good thing. It's like forgetting your car keys. Am I missing something? No, I'm being kind of silly, but that's not what God meant when he said remember, right? Another example, Exodus 23, verse 13, where it says, where Israel's commanded against idolatry, and God says, make no mention of the names of other gods. To make no mention of is the same Hebrew root of remember. So clearly it's more than just to bring something to mind. Remember has a fuller meaning. Again, it's to profess, it's to observe, it's to make mention of. In other words, our minds and our hearts should be preparing for God's Sabbath in advance. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the sermon as well. So first part of that commandment is to remember the Sabbath day, to recall it to mind, to properly prepare for it, to make mention of it, to observe it. So it's an all-in situation where to remember the Sabbath day is to not simply to remember the command, but to also be prepared to enter God's Sabbath rest. The second part of that command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To keep it holy in the Hebrew is simply one word. It's the word kadesh, Q-A-D-A-S-H, and to transliterate it into the English language. And kadesh means to set apart, to be consecrated, to hallow, or to become, declare, or keep holy. And again, that's from the Brown, Driver, and Briggs Hebrew English lexicon. You find very similar definitions in like Strong's Concordance and other reference works as well. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, or as the New Living Translation puts this verse, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So a couple call outs here. Number one is the Sabbath day is already holy time. And we know this from the time we've had in God's churches. Human beings, apart from God, cannot make anything holy. It is God who determines what is holy and what is not. And it is our responsibility to embrace the holy while, what? distancing or separating ourselves from the unholy or the unclean or the unrighteous. There are ways we could put that, right? So again, to keep it holy means that we are to partake in something that God has already established as holy. God set the example for us by resting on the seventh day of creation. Of course, it's silly to think that God needed the rest, right? Because God is a spirit being. He's the all-powerful Father, our Heavenly Father of the entire universe. Clearly, the Father didn't need the rest, but he rested again for our benefit and for our instruction that we should follow in that example. That's why in Exodus chapter 20 here, the command refers back to the seventh day of creation. So, principle number one, and I'm going to keep this simple. I'm only going to cover two principles today. So, principle number one of the Sabbath is we observe the Sabbath by keeping the Sabbath day holy. Simple as that. We keep the Sabbath day holy. You know, Sabbath is a time for a fresh start. Or to put it in our modern digital parlance, it's a chance for us as individuals to reboot, right? To put aside, lay aside the burden or the yoke of our week's labors, all the stresses that are built up, all of the anxiety that might be building, big decisions that perhaps are still up there in front of us that need our time and attention. Just the buzz of modern society with its bombarding us constantly with advertisements and bad news and just the scurry and the speed of life in the 21st century. We get to kind of set all of that aside, to take off that yoke and to have a new start every 7 days as we enter the Sabbath day. There's a principle here also in the Jubilee year, which was a chance for a new start for the Israelites. All the debts would be canceled, slaves were released, one could return to one's ancestral land. There was no regular cycle of planting and harvest. It was simply a time to rest. It was a time of refreshment, and it was a time of depending on God to provide for each day's bread. Because if you recall the way the land rests worked, is every 7 years there would be a land rest, and so you'd get seven land rests to fulfill 49 years, and then you'd have another land rest on the Jubilee year, the 50th year. And so you're really, in a sense, stepping out on faith for God to provide for you and your family and your fellow countrymen in such a time as that. So how do we keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, first of all, three reasons for keeping the Sabbath day holy. Number one is to remember that God is our creator. To remember that God is our creator. In Exodus chapter 20, where we have the first example of an explicit Sabbath command, and of course we know that the Sabbath existed before the commandment was given, right? We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the explicit Sabbath command in Exodus chapter 20, again, goes back to creation. Verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, the sea, that it, all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore, because of these things, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it." So it reminds us that God is our creator. Second reason for keeping the Sabbath holy is it also reminds us is that God is our Redeemer. God is our Redeemer. Deuteronomy chapter 5. We'll go to the second recording of the Sabbath command. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work." And then it includes all the subclasses of people who are involved in that. Everybody who was in the family's sphere of influence there, who was in their direct control. And then verse 15, it's interesting here because God doesn't refer back to creation in this instance, but he refers back to Israelites is as slaves in the land of Egypt. Notice Deuteronomy 5 verse 15. It says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So God says, "I called you out of slavery. I called you to be my own people and to worship me in spirit and in truth." And therefore that was one of the primary reasons for, again, calling his people back to him, teaching them again his ways, is to establish that Sabbath commandment, which was a reminder of God being their Redeemer. And so when we keep the Sabbath today, it is also to remember that God is our Creator, God is the Creator of all things, and that God is also our Redeemer. He has redeemed us from this world's ways. He's called you and I out of this world for his own reasons, not because of anything that we've done, but for his own glory, so that no man can boast, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's called the weak and the foolish of the world so that none can boast in his sight. That's us. Third reason for keeping the Sabbath holy is it foreshadows entering into his rest. It foreshadows entering into his rest. And for a scriptural reference here, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And the logic or the argument, you could say, for the build-up or the climax in Hebrews chapter 4 about the importance of Sabbath rest, the Greek is sabbatismos, used only here in Scripture, is the author's pulling from Psalm 95 and how Israel was not allowed to really enter a time of rest. They were always at war with their enemies because they were not fully submissive to God. They did not allow him to fight their battles for them. And therefore, God allowed foreign nations to come in and disturb that rest in their land. So let's pick up just a few verses here in Hebrews chapter 4, realizing that the culmination of this, or the building of all this, has been building ever since the previous chapter in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, "For if Joshua had given them rest," that is, when Joshua led the people across the Jordan River into the promised land that God had promised their forefathers, "then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. Therefore, there remains, therefore," verse 9, "a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest," that is God's rest, "has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." Again, a referring back to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 11, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Verse 9, again, is the pivotal verse, which says, in the New King James, it says, "Therefore, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God." The Greek, again, is sabbatismos, which means a Sabbath rest. There is a remaining Sabbath rest for the people of God. And so it refers us back to creation. It says there is a rest that remains for the people of God today. And of course, we look forward, as the called out people of God, to the rest that God has promised his people when his son returns during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. There will be no more war. There will be peace on this earth. And that is a beautiful time of rest that we pray for and that we look forward to and that we rehearse every year as we celebrate and observe the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you take those three reasons for Sabbath rest, for keeping it holy, number one, God is our creator. That looks back at creation. God is our redeemer. That grounds us in the present day, realizing that we have been saved from our sins through Jesus Christ when we repent of those sins and we turn to him with all of our hearts. And number three, it foreshadows entering into his rest. We look forward to an ultimate rest to come in God's kingdom. So the Sabbath rest, by keeping the Sabbath holy, we're really fulfilling those three aspects, the past, present, and future of Sabbath rest. There are also three principles of Sabbath rest, and for these I'd like to turn to Leviticus chapter 23. So there's three reasons for keeping the Sabbath holy and three principles that we'll draw from here. Leviticus chapter 23. In verse 3. Let's pick it up in the beginning of the chapter. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." He never once says these are Jewish feasts. These are Israelitish feasts, just as he never says that the Sabbath is a Jewish celebration or a Jewish stopping from one's labors. God says, this is my day. I rested on the seventh day. I set the example for all of my people to follow down through the ages. And so he says here, the feasts of the Lord, which you proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work in it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord your God in all of your dwellings. So three principles here. Number one, do no work. Number two, rest. And number three, assemble. Right? It says, proclaim these as holy convocations. There is to be a convocating or a coming together, an assembly of God's people. So let's run through those in a little bit more detail. Three principles here for keeping the Sabbath holy. Number one is do no work. So we are not to make the Sabbath our day to go to market, to go hit all the latest sales when the sale paper comes out. It's not the day to do our primary weekly shopping. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 31, Nehemiah made that very clear that on the Sabbath day, there were people who were coming into Jerusalem, and they were setting up shop, and they were doing their weekly business. And he says that is not to be. You are not to sell, bring in any wares or to sell grain on the Sabbath day. And he went so far as to shut up the gates to the city when they continued doing that in order to help the people who were within Jerusalem to keep the Sabbath holy by abstaining from their regular work. The Bible in Basic English puts verse 13 this way of Nehemiah chapter 10. It says this, quote, "If you keep the Sabbath with care, not doing your business on my holy day, and if the Sabbath seems to you a delight." So the it says, if you keep the Sabbath with care, not doing your business on my holy day. And excuse me, I think that quote is actually from Isaiah 58, which we'll get to here in just a little bit. So my apologies there for any confusion. So the first principle is pretty straightforward, right? We don't go to our day jobs on the Sabbath. We abstain from our regular work. And we desist, we cease and desist from that aspect of our lives, because again, the Sabbath day is a time of rest. It's a time to not do our own ways or seek our own pleasure, but to do what God asks of us. So that's the first principle, is do no work. Second principle is to rest. Rest here is both a physical rest. Maybe we can sleep in on Sabbath morning. But it's also a spiritual rest. It's time to really focus our minds and our hearts on different things, to spend extra time in God's Word. And that's where preparation for the Sabbath becomes so critical as well. You know, you won't, the preparation day is, which is in our common vernacular known as Friday, the day before Sabbath, the preparation day is very important in making sure that our entire week is programmed in such a way that every member will be ready to welcome God's holy day when it arrives. And that goes back to the word remember, right? It says, remember God's Sabbath day to keep it holy. It should be on our mind. It should be on our thoughts before the sun ever sets on Friday evening. We should try in whatever means we can to prepare for God's special day. Exodus chapter 16 is an example of God using a very concrete lesson involving food to teach his people this important lesson. Exodus chapter 16. You'll recall this is the account of the manna, which just means what is it? It's this fine particles that came down and it settled all over the camp of Israel, and they picked it up and they tasted it, and it tasted really good. It tasted sweet. And they could bake cakes with it. They could probably roll tortillas with it. Maybe make lefses out of it, Norwegian flatbread. They could probably make manna cinnamon rolls. Who knows? But they could use it for all sorts of things in their camp. But if you recall, it would fall for 6 days, and he says, gather what you will gather today. But it had a very short shelf life. It wouldn't keep until the morning. And so they had to go out and gather it every day, except on which day? Except on the day before the Sabbath. So let's pick up the account here. Verse 16 of Exodus chapter 16 says, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather in, each according to one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of the persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. And then the children of Israel did so, and they gathered some more, some less. And when they measured the omers, he who had gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's own need. And Moses instructed them, verse 19, let no one leave any of it until morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank and went bad. And Moses was angry with them. And now verse 22, and it says, so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers, for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses and said, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. Now keep in mind, this takes place before the formal Sabbath commandment is given in Exodus chapter 20. So he says, again in verse 23, says, this is what the Lord says. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. And so they laid it up till morning, and Moses said, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. So a little minor miracle right here that the manna stayed fresh for yet another day on the Sabbath day. And then there was the prohibition to go out to gather more on the Sabbath day because that would be considered work. Again, they were to commanded to rest. And so again, God used a staple of everybody's lives, food, to teach them an important lesson about the importance of resting on his holy Sabbath day. It's also important when considering rest to keep the spirit of the Sabbath intact. And what I mean by that is that the Sabbath can so easily at times be intruded by elements that are alien to its spirit. The experience of worship and fellowship that the believer must always be alert to stay on top of, there are alien factors which are detrimental to one's realization of Sabbath sacredness. Whatever that is, if it's having the TV on, if that's a distraction for us, and I'm not saying that turning on the TV on Friday night to catch the news or to watch a nature show that exemplifies parts of God's creation, that that's in itself wrong. I'm saying if it's out of joint with the nature of Sabbath keeping, then we should avoid it, whatever that something is. We could ask ourselves this question, to put it in another way. Does this activity cause me to understand better the true nature and sacredness of the Sabbath? And if it does, then that's great. That would be acceptable on the Sabbath. But if it does not, if it distracts us, if it pulls us away, or if it's disjointed with the Sabbath observance and what God has intended for us, then we need to avoid it. So keeping those questions and principles in mind is much better and is much safer and is more biblical than establishing a list of do's and don'ts for the Sabbath. And as you know, that's what the Jews of the time leading up into the first century and on in past the first century were very good at, right, is putting a hedge around God's law. They develop all these additional laws to try to buffer, to put this hedge or this protective barrier around God's law so that a good Jew, a good Israelite, wouldn't, by accident, break God's law. So the first principle of keeping the Sabbath holy is do no work. The second one is to rest. And the third one, which we can pull from Leviticus chapter 23 here, is to assemble. So Sabbath observance includes both worship and fellowship. We come together, we dress in our best attire, realizing that we're coming before a holy God. And we're here to worship, we're here to learn, we're here to expand our knowledge and our appreciation and our understanding of this great God who has called us to this way. But we're also here to fellowship, we're here to converse with one another, we're here to edify one another. God gives us an open invitation to enjoy both worship and fellowship on the Sabbath day. Sabbath worship takes place as a community of believers. So whenever we're well enough to do so, we come together and we worship together as part of the family of God. It is a commanded assembly. When either Sabbath worship or fellowship is distorted or abused, both praise to God and personal enrichment on the Sabbath day is threatened. God's Sabbath rest is a gift that he has given us. And the Sabbath is to bring true joy to each and every one of our lives. So again, to attempt to regulate that joy is a misplaced use of our energy and time. Extra-biblical prohibitions that go beyond the Sabbath commandment, like developing lists of don'ts, again, is not the best way to go about it. We approach it by looking at it as principles of Sabbath observance. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ, in his ministry, broke many of the superficial laws of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We see that time and time again in Scripture, where he broke their interpretation of Sabbath law, but he himself never did break the fourth commandment. He, in fact, expounded upon the fourth commandment. We'll get to some of that as we talk about our second major principle of Sabbath observance. Our first one is keeping God's Sabbath holy. The second one is to call the Sabbath a delight. And we really can't have one without the other, can we? If we keep the Sabbath holy, but we don't call the Sabbath a delight, we have a tendency to fall into legalism or to lose that joy and that excitement and that sense of rejoicing when the Sabbath day arrives, if there's no delight associated with the Sabbath. The same is true if we call the Sabbath a delight, but we don't keep the Sabbath holy, right? Oh, we can have a grand time on the Sabbath, and we can call it a delight, but if it's not in keeping with the Sabbath holy, we're really not doing what pleases God, are we? So we have to have both. We have to both keep the Sabbath holy as God intends, and we also have to call the Sabbath a delight. And that phrase, you'll recognize, comes from Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, we'll begin, I'm just going to read verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verse 13 says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." In other words, if we keep the Sabbath in such a way that it brings delight and it's a joy, God says that he will bless that effort. Because again, we don't make the Sabbath holy. Our command is to help keep the Sabbath holy. And we do so with a happy heart, with joy, and with gladness. How do we accomplish this? Isaiah chapter 58 tells us that it's by not pursuing our own interests. Now, that doesn't mean we do the opposite and say, well, I really like coffee, but on the Sabbath day, well, I find delight in coffee, so I guess I shouldn't have any coffee or cheesecake or pancakes because I delight in those things. No, that's not what God means, does he? He's not talking about anything that we enjoy to do the opposite of. He's talking about not finding your own pleasure that is apart or going after our own will that is separate from his will. So it's really about seeking God, more so on the Sabbath day than perhaps any other day of the week. It's about seeking his ways, learning more about him, so that we can delight ourselves, not in our own ways, but in the Lord, in his ways. The Sabbath is an opportunity for us, brethren, as believers, to recognize and to reach our God-given potential. It's a day where we recognize that we are all sons and daughters of God, that he is called to ultimately enter his family as resurrected, eternal, spiritual beings. And it is through recognizing our God-given potential and fulfilling that God-given potential that we can call the Sabbath day a delight. And again, the Sabbath is not to be a day of focusing on the don't do's or the I can'ts. Rochelle and I will tell you a little bit of story. In our family, we've had to come up against such things with our children in public school, such as, you know, basketball games on Friday night or friend get-togethers on a Saturday afternoon. And oftentimes, other parents who are not in the church, they'll recognize the Sabbath, that we keep the Sabbath, or we'll remind them of the fact that we do, and they'll say, oh, that's right, you can't. Or they'll tell it to our kids also, and I've heard this from other families who keep the Sabbath as well. It's like, oh, you know, little Susie, She's so sweet, and we'd love to involve her, but she can't because she has to keep that Sabbath, that mean, horrible, repressive, you know, downtrodden Sabbath day. And what we've been trying to do in recent years in our family anyway is to step in and correct that. It's like, no, it's not that we can't. It's that we choose to follow God. We choose to observe His holy time. And that's a choice on our part, but it's also a delight. Because when you say, I can't do something, it implies that you don't have a choice. And brethren, we all do have a choice. We can choose to obey God, or we can choose to not obey God, right? We have free will as human beings. So to say, I can't do something, again, that implies that we don't have a choice. And the truth is that we do. We do have a choice. But what we do with that free will and choice means everything to our personal walk with our Creator. So we consciously then choose to be obedient to God. So again, it's not a matter of developing a list of don'ts, or it's not the I can'ts, but it's what we choose to do, how we choose to spend the Sabbath day, that can either make the Sabbath a drag and a burden that we can't wait until it's over, or that we can choose to seek after God, and we can choose to call the Sabbath a delight. And that goes for the annual holy days as well, right? Not just the weekly Sabbath. So what are some other things that we could practically be doing to call the Sabbath a delight? Well, you could spend extra time with your family. You can get together with brethren as your extended church family. And you can do things like take a nice, gentle stroll or walk out in nature. You know, the Sabbath is probably not a day for tackling a 14er up in the Colorado Rockies, right? But you can certainly go out in nature and you can look around and you can observe and you can just take in the beauty of creation all around you. Back in Oregon, one of our favorite activities on Sabbath afternoon, because we typically have morning services in Eugene anyway, is we'd drive out to Corvallis, which was about a 40-minute drive, not too far away. And there was a beautiful little nature walk that went through the Oregon State Research Forest. And it was about, I want to say, a mile and a half, probably under 2 miles anyway. And it just wound through this beautiful natural setting where you'd see the big Doug fir trees and all sorts of flora and fauna throughout that park. We'd usually take our dog with us, let him off the leash. And it's just a really enjoyable time to spend outside on God's Sabbath day, just enjoying nature and communing with God through His creation. Other practical things we can do on the Sabbath. We can visit the sick or the shut-ins. Now, naturally, if you visit the sick, you want to exercise wisdom and not catch what they have if there's contagion, if it's something contagious naturally. But if there's those who are down and who cannot attend or are shut-ins, perhaps, the Sabbath can be a great opportunity to go and visit them, those who need encouragement. We can extend the fellowship into the evening time by gathering for snacks or a potluck or a meal at someone's house or any safe environment where we can get together as God's people. We can write letters or cards of encouragement to people since we have that extra time, that extra downtime on the Sabbath day. There are a lot of practical things we can do to make the choice to call the Sabbath a delight. And so those two principles of keeping the Sabbath holy and calling the Sabbath a delight are, again, there's nothing new here. I think you've all read those scriptures and you've heard those reasons before. But again, brethren, my purpose today is to remind you, and again, this is not new, but we have to fight against the familiar becoming the mundane. And the mundane can lead to complacency. God does not want a complacent people when it comes to observing and keeping the fourth commandment. God wants a people that is on fire for his ways, that strives to seek him with all of our hearts, that strives to keep the Sabbath day holy, and that strives to call the Sabbath day a delight. Brethren, how we keep the Sabbath day says something about us, doesn't it? So, brethren, let's remember to, as God has commanded us, keep the Sabbath holy. Let's make the conscious choice to make the Sabbath a delight. And whatever we do when we come together on the Sabbath day, do not take the Sabbath for granted. Happy Sabbath to all of you.
Thank you, Mr. New. For our final hymn this Sabbath, let's turn to page 121. Page 121, we'll sing As the Deer. And please rise. Afterward, we'll have the closing prayer by Mr. Don Mader.